text for this morning is the lesson that you have just heard in Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. In the name of Jesus, dear friends in Christ, a common and well-worn cliché has been used whenever the appropriate occasion arises is mind over matter. This implies that a person who is determined enough to accomplish any task or overcome any obstacle that confronts him, the emphasis is placed on personal initiative and resourcefulness, reminiscence of a time of rugged individualism or the product of a Puritan ethic. But in our present society, where change is the real rather than the exception, many difficulties and problems which present themselves are not so easily solved. One of the greatest threats to our mental well-being is uncertainty. We have been kept abreast of what's happening everywhere around. Daily reports come to us. Stop and think for a moment about the amount of fear that must be existing within the minds of each one of those people, each one wondering whether freedom or death will be the end result of this long ordeal. But consider also some of these common, everyday questions which people may have to confront. How will I ever be able to make ends meet with this spiraling inflation? What if I could be laid off from my job today or tomorrow? What if I could end up in the hospital? Who would take care of my family if I should suddenly die? Tension, frustration, anxiety. These are words that seem to convey the character of our modern living. Is it any wonder then that the mental equilibrium of some people becomes short-circuited? In addition to these persistent and troubling questions, which we too must deal with, you and I recognize that we're not immune to pressure and tension here at the seminary, but we're sooner aware of it. There are deadlines to meet. There are presentations to give. There are papers to write. Many things which all bear upon us. Many times we just feel overwhelmed. Too many things coming at us from too many different directions. In our text for this morning, St. Paul offers us some encouraging words concerning the alleviation of anxiety. For there is an intimate connection between the Christian life and prayer. The Church of Philippi, being concerned about St. Paul's well-being, had sent Epaphroditus to him to minister to his needs. And during his service there with Paul, he suffered a very serious illness, which proved to be almost fatal. Realizing that the Philippians were anxious about the condition of Epaphroditus, Paul sends him back to them with this letter, in which he prescribes what should be done when the Christian is burdened with fears and worries. And he says, have no anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Seemingly strange words coming from Paul, particularly in the light of the situation in which he finds himself. It would be relatively easy, I think you would agree, for a person free of suffering, free of hardship, free of pain, to make such a statement. But when Paul wrote these words, he was in prison in Rome. If anyone had reason to be anxious, it would be Paul. If anyone might be filled with doubts and uncertainty about the future, it could be Paul. And yet Paul could rejoice in his suffering, for his life was totally dedicated to Christ and his glorification. That is his whole purpose for being, his reason for living. So he was fully convinced that to live is Christ, to die is gain. Looking back over the years when I was growing up, especially in my high school years, I can remember the many times when I went to my father with a particular problem or concern. He told me anytime, come and see him, talk to him about it. Invariably, I would come away feeling relieved that I had been able to share my concerns with someone who would understand. And so it is with our Heavenly Father. He invites and encourages us to bring our petitions to him. For nothing is too large or too small to bring to God. As Luther writes in his introduction to the Lord's Prayer, concerning the relationship between God the Father and his children, so that we may with our boldness and confidence ask him as dear children ask their dear father. A person whom the Holy Spirit has brought into this new and vital life-giving relationship in Jesus Christ begins to live in this close spiritual relationship with his spiritual father. And when troubles arise, in what better hand can they be placed than God's hand? Certainly the devil is pleased when dissensions and doubts are created. He'd like nothing better than to draw the wedge between the believer and his Lord. It's sad that many people today engage in a form of self-psychology, as they try to rationalize away all their fears and problems on their own, hoping to put their minds at rest. Easier said than done. But you and I have the assurance that our Heavenly Father does hear, and he does answer our prayers. An article in St. Pete Magazine put out by the Worldwide Church of God has an article entitled, Does God Still Answer Prayer? And it begins with the remark, the atheist doesn't receive any answers because he doesn't bother to pray. The agnostic receives no answers because he's not sure that God really exists. What the author here fails to see is that true prayer presupposes that foundation, that faith in Jesus Christ and his atonement, which is our atonement with God. Our prayers need always be Christ-centered, always focused on that crucifixion and that resurrection, the cross and the open tomb. But not only does our text contain a prescription, it also holds a promise. St. Paul writes, and the peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts in your minds in Christ Jesus. Efforts to achieve peace in the world seem more futile with each passing day. Aggression and conflict are overt expressions of man's sinful nature. But the Christian knows that that peace that is his with God is unique. It's everlasting. And there's no way of earning it, no way of negotiating it. It's graciously given and graciously bestowed upon. God's disposition toward us through Christ is our peace. When you take a look at that Hebrew word for peace alone, it has a variety of shades of meaning. It means well-being and happiness. It means inner peace because of the knowledge that our trespasses have been wiped clean. It means living under the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit.